Well, it's been quite a week at our house. Susan had the big surgery, and she's making good progress, as I said. But it's been busy, been a lot of running around. And now I have the opportunity to celebrate my birthday tomorrow. And I got to tell you, I still love birthdays. Doesn't matter how many of them I have. I still love birthdays, probably because we have always celebrated birthdays. We have always had birthday parties. In my family, it's a big deal. And I understand that a lot of families don't do a whole lot with birthdays. But that's never been true for our family. We make a big deal out of it. And I've always had fun with getting the gifts. I've always enjoyed the food. I've always enjoyed the best wishes of everyone and the opportunity to make a birthday wish and just the whole thing. And through the years, I've also grown to appreciate the presence of family and friends as some of them leave over the course of time and others arrive. We have some that are on the way in our family, which is cool. And we have Big Brad, who's getting more alert as to what's going on with the whole thing, and he'll probably try to help me eat my cake. Which is cool. So it'll be a lot of fun. See, you can't mail birthday parties in. You can't do them virtually very well. If you're not there, and there's no chance for a do-over, that birthday is done. You can just do something maybe next year. But you got to be there for it to be the cool thing that it is. And as I was thinking about Acts chapter 2, since today is Pentecost Sunday, it occurred to me that Pentecost is a party that celebrates the church's birthday. Now, I have put that it is part of Easter aftermath, and that's not a typo. I meant to have it there because if it were not for the resurrection, we would not be talking about Pentecost. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christ coming back to life as a risen king. And then, after 40 days, going up to heaven. And when he went up, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes down. Acts chapter 1 talks about Christ's departure. And the Holy Spirit arrival is in Acts chapter 2. A little bit different, though. Because when Christ came down, he came down as a baby. And he went back up, risen in a resurrection body. The Holy Spirit has been here before in the pages of the Bible. But he has only been with certain people at certain times for certain occasions. And now, the Holy Spirit comes down to all who believe. In fact, the book of Acts talks often about this delay. There are those who have believed, but they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And in this kind of in-between time, a kind of once-in-history moment, they are between the two and receive the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, and that's part of the great story. We often shy away from Pentecost because many of us are uncomfortable with all the attention paid to the gifts that show up when the Holy Spirit shows up. Most especially, the fact is in verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is on page 771 of your Bibles that are nearby you, if you want to take a look at this. We're going to do an overview pretty much of the entire chapter of Acts 2. So the gifts are there, and they can be intimidating. But I think the thing to remember about the gifts is that Pentecost is not really about the gifts. The gifts are not really about themselves. The idea of speaking in tongues is not just to say, hey, cool, miracle, I can speak in tongues. And by the way, here, tongues means other actual languages that the other people who were around at that time, and they give a big list in verse 9, you can read it, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. There's a lot of different people here, and they have a lot of different languages, and somehow they're able to understand things because somehow the disciples are able to speak in that language. It's a miracle. It's a manifestation of a gift. But the point of the gift is not the gift. The point of the gift is the gospel. And so we'll talk about that as we move along. But the point here is that the Holy Spirit is not drawing attention to himself. He never does. He's drawing attention to Christ. The focus is not on the gift that the Holy Spirit gives. The focus is on the gospel that is preached through the gift and is responded to by many, many people on that great and glorious day. In fact, we can see that the gifts aren't everything by doing a simple comparison. In Acts chapter 8, we have apostles in verse 14. We have the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Notice here it does not say that they spoke in tongues. They did receive the Holy Spirit. They had not had it yet. They had been baptized into the name of Jesus. They're kind of in this in-between place we're talking about. And then they do receive the Holy Spirit, but there are no tongues involved. And then you have verse 10, where Peter is talking to the household of Cornelius in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So here in chapter 10, we have them praising God and through tongues and speaking in tongues when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So it's not a rule that the Spirit is followed by tongues, because it's about the Spirit, not about the tongues. It's about the giver, not the gift. And in fact, it's more anything about the gospel of Christ. So what we need to do today, if I can get my gizmo to work here, is celebrate the church on its birthday. Because Pentecost is the church's birthday. This is when the church really began. This is true because this is when the Spirit came down and formed it through all those who believed in Christ on that day. Once again, I want to say that the gifts are not the most important thing, but the event the gifts point to is. It's as though we were to make the fireworks on the 4th of July more important than the reason for the fireworks on the 4th of July. We celebrate the 4th of July because it is, in a sense, our country's birthday. There are several other claimants, I think, for a date for that, but one of them is July 4, 1776, the 4th of July. And the fireworks signify that something cool is happening, but they are not that cool thing themselves. They point to it. In the same way, the gifts of the Spirit point to this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that forms the church. And yet, a whole lot of people don't celebrate the church today. If you were to ask them why, their question would be, well, why? Why should I celebrate? Why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to pay attention to all of that? Maybe some of these people have been through difficult circumstances in other churches, and they have found just bad attitudes and bad actions and they've decided as a result that church is not for them. Or maybe that they just believe that they can worship God on their own. Or it may be something else. But actually, I think all of that is a shame. Because the reason we are gathered in the church is to praise God in a way that we simply cannot by ourselves. It is much more for us to gather together and praise God. There is more in, not just in number, but in just the participation that makes it special. It's like I was saying with birthday parties. If I had my birthday, see, I'm going to have my birthday tomorrow no matter what, right? That's going to be today. But if I didn't have a party, if I didn't have people come and celebrate it with me, it wouldn't be the same. I'd just get up and go, well, another day, you know. Maybe I could give myself a gift. Maybe I could make myself a cake. Although if I made myself a cake, that would be dangerous. Anybody that's seen me in the kitchen knows that I'm there to eat. I'm not there to cook, generally speaking. When we gather as a church, we are celebrating the risen King Jesus. Yes, you can do that by yourself, but it's not the same. It is important that we come together because the church as a whole brings the presence of Christ to the world. We are, after all, in Ephesians 4, called the body of Christ. We bring his presence into the world when we gather. We bring his presence to the world even when we're on our own, but it means something beyond the individual when we gather as a group, because it's harder to get together as a group. It's more of a challenge. There's more involved. You have to make an effort, which means that it's important to you, that the cause for which you have come is significant. You have gathered for a reason, and that reason is important. You can't mail this in. It's up to us to show up. It always has been. So, a lot of people showed up on that day, Acts 2, from all over the world. They were not celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were celebrating instead a Jewish festival called the Festival of Weeks, W-E-E-K-S. And it's one of the great festivals in the Jewish calendar, along with Passover and I've actually had in mind the third one and then I forgot it. So there's a third gathering that's important too. But the gathering here of weeks is talked about in Deuteronomy, and it's talked about in Leviticus. And it has to do with the harvest. And that's why I wanted to mention it, because it's the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the third big feast. So the Passover, Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Weeks has to do with the harvest. The harvest comes in, and everybody gathers to celebrate. It says in Deuteronomy 16, verse 9, count off 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. And rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. In other words, talking about a temple here. You, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants, the Levites in your town, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows living among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and carefully follow these decrees. So they were told to gather, and gather they did, from all over the known world for this great festival. And it was on this festival, a festival of harvest, that Pentecost became our Pentecost. It says here, when the day of Pentecost came, and that at that point it's referring to the Old Testament Pentecost, but the church took that over, because it's also true that the same day, 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus, is, you know, 50 days also. So they took it in terms of the resurrection instead of the harvest blessing. But it's not hard to see a metaphor here. The harvest, the first fruits, are being celebrated. Here we have the first fruits of the church, the first fruits of the Spirit. So what do we do to celebrate the church on its birthday? In the calm before the storm, pray. In chapter 1, verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. These are the disciples, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. It ends up, at one point, there was 120 in that room. And they were praying constantly, it says. They must have been praying then. In chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So they must have been praying when Hurricane Holy Spirit hit. We know there was a violent wind. No, not necessarily a hurricane, but you get the idea. And all storms aren't bad. Sometimes it's a good storm. A whole bunch of events coming together all at once. With a great deal of excitement and anticipation and then joy. And that's what happened here. This was a good storm. This was a storm that needed to take place to set the church on its journey to spread the gospel to the world. Some storms are awesome explosions of joy. They are nonstop parties. But when they hit, there's not much time to pray. So before they hit, it's the time to pray. When you have a calm moment, when you have a calm day, when you have a calm period of time, that's the time to take special note of and pray and bring it all before God and say, Lord, whatever you have next for me, I want to put it in your hands. I want to ask you to bless it. Maybe that's why we have to wait. Because God wants us to pray before he brings whatever he intends to bring. Now, we're in good company when we wait. These 120 people waited 10 whole days after Jesus left, before the Holy Spirit came. And they did not know how many days it was actually going to be. So you can imagine that that's a difficult time, a very tense time. It's there waiting, 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 and wondering, and wondering, and wondering. Especially when you compare it to waiting for the second coming. The second coming has yet to happen, but it still will. So we pray for it to come as we wait. Sometimes waiting takes far longer than we think, and sometimes it's just our perception of the waiting. But as I've said before, one of my favorite quotes is from the book called Waiting by Ben Patterson, where he says, faith is forged in delay. We learn how to trust when we wait. Without the waiting, there isn't much trusting. So in the calm before the storm, we need to pray. Sometimes we look for the perfect opportunity for prayer. Conditions have to be just right. Everything has to be exactly so before we will pray. Instead, we simply need to pray. The best time to pray is now. Who knows how busy you'll be tomorrow? Who knows what could be going on in your life? Who knows what God could be bringing forth? A new work, a new opportunity, a new direction. So today, if today is a calm moment for you, pray. And if you can, pray with others. Because as you pray together with others, you are lifted up. You'll find a joy there that you can find very few places other than praying with God's people for God's priorities. I'll put it in another way, more simply, using a sports metaphor because you know I love sports. The Phillies are doing okay this year. but they've had a tough time the last few weeks, been losing a lot of people to injury. One of the people that they picked up in order to deal with their situation was a fellow named Jay Bruce, who's, you know, I used to hate to see him come up to bat against the Phillies, because it seemed like he was always getting a hit. If it wasn't a homer, it was, you know, a hit and getting on. Now he's on my team, so I get to watch him get the hits and hurt the other team. But he has a little saying. He said four homers in, I think, the last five games. And he likes hitting homers. And the way he puts it is, you elevate to celebrate. And I like that. You elevate to celebrate. If you want to celebrate the presence of God in your life, elevate Him in your life. Pray to Him. Pray up. Point to Him. Praise Him. Lift His name high. And as you do, you'll find that you're celebrating. And when the church does this, as we do every Sunday here in this church, we celebrate being the church. We celebrate, in effect, what happened on Pentecost. It was when they were praying that the Spirit came. So, the next thing to think about is practicing the unity of the Spirit. And you're saying, well, if the Spirit's so unified, how come people get all bent out of shape over spiritual gifts and get kind of in different places on that and have a hard time understanding one another? Well, I think that's a work of the forces of darkness. I don't think that's the intent of the Holy Spirit at all. And remember, it says in verse 1, they were all together in one place. The Holy Spirit unites. He doesn't divide. So must we. Again, in Ephesians 4, since I've already mentioned it several times, I might as well just quote from it, because this is a powerful passage. Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is chapter 4, verse 3. The unity of the Spirit. There, and then he goes on to say, there is one body, church, and one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is a majestic passage of Scripture, and it emphasizes the unity that we find in the Holy Spirit. Look at Pentecost. From all over they came, from every part of the planet at that time. And they gathered in one place and ended up walking out of there one people, because so many of them became Christians. They became the church, and they became this one body, one Spirit, called to one hope with one Lord that Paul talks about in Ephesians. It's the same concept that formed our nation. E pluribus unum is our motto. Out of many, one. And that's what the church is. Out of many, one. And that's what each local church should be. Out of many, one. No wonder the forces of darkness try so hard to get people mad at each other in churches, because it disrupts the unity and makes the witness so much difficult to proclaim. But everything about the church, including such gifts as tongues, are meant to draw people together, to get people on the same page. The whole point of the tongues in Acts 2 was so that everyone could hear the gospel in his or her own language, and so they would understand one message. Out of many, one. So let us celebrate our common ground with our fellow Christians. Let us try to emphasize the ways we agree instead of picking at the ways we disagree. And a lot of times, the things that we argue about are things that aren't terribly important after all. Not in comparison to the spreading of the gospel. Not as important as proclaiming the name of Christ to all who will hear. We are, after all, part of a cause that is greater than ourselves. Now, this week I had the opportunity, because, you know, it's kind of in front of a TV a lot without a lot to do, especially in the hospital. And I'd see a lot of different things. And one of the things I was able to spend some time with was all the celebrations in Normandy for D-Day, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. I don't know that I need to go over all of that with you, but I think the most of you know that D-Day was extremely important in the history of the world, really. And certainly in World War II, it was what the initiative that brought eventual victory for the Allied forces. Now, and by the way, let me just point out, the Allied forces. These are a lot of people coming from a lot of countries, out of many, one fighting force, seeking to prevail. It was just a daunting task to storm those beaches, but they did, and they prevailed. And D-Day celebrated that. It was noted quite often that this is probably the last special anniversary of D-Day that most, if not almost all, of those who were on the beach that day, June 6, 1944, almost the last one they'll attend. 25 years from now, many of them would have to be 120 in order to be there. And there may be a couple, that's possible. But you're starting to hit the outer limits at that point. There are so many of them that were there in their early to late 90s, where their comrades had died. Where people that they knew as 18-year-old boys gave their lives for a cause greater than themselves. You see, that's what the church is all about, too. The church is all about giving our lives in service for a cause greater than ourselves. And what is that cause? That cause is the gospel, the gift on this birthday of the church is the gift of the gospel. After all the explosions of all the gifts and all the amazement of all the crowd, Peter got up and started to speak on behalf of all the other disciples that were there and all those who had prayed. And he makes it clear that this is all about the gospel. It's all about Jesus. He preaches a sermon, which is the center of chapter 2. He preaches a sermon based on Scripture, the Old Testament Scriptures. Those were the Scriptures that they had. And in that message, he drew everyone's attention, not to the Holy Spirit, although he talked about the Holy Spirit, not to the gifts, although he talked about miracles, wonders, and signs. But he drew them all to Jesus, who he wanted them to know was not just a man, but was also the risen King. The risen King Jesus. The gospel is the birthday gift that God gave to the world. And then for those who receive it, their task is to give it themselves in proclamation, making sure that people know where the gift comes from, why it has been given, and what it means. Now, to do this, you have to make sure you're speaking the same language. That's what Pentecost did, right? Got everybody on the one message, no matter what language they spoke. In a way, Pentecost is the reverse of the Tower of Babel. And it's interesting when you think about how that works out. The whole point of Babel was they came in with one language and they exited with about, 100. And because of that, they couldn't accomplish anything. On the other hand, you have people coming in and speaking about 100 different languages, and they exit speaking one language in the sense of the gospel. And out of that came the church. So it's Babel in reverse. And it's important that we speak the same language, because if we don't, then we can say the same words and mean entirely different things. Yesterday I had a chance to hear Scott Rasmussen, the polar. He's a pollster who is hard at work getting things ready for the election polls coming up. And he was talking to a group, and saying that this is so important when you're doing polling, when you're trying to understand how people are reacting to things. For example, he used the word socialism. Now, socialism is a hot-button word these days in our society. And he said, in their polling, about 29% of all Americans think socialism is a good idea, which could be disconcerting to those who know what socialism is. But for these people, the 29%, think they do know what socialism is, when actually that may be an open question, because 80% of them also say that less government is good. They say it's almost impossible to have socialism without having more government. This means that there's some dearth of understanding that needs to be corrected. So he suggested that we really talk, when we're talking to other people about things that are hot button issues, that we make sure we're talking about the same thing. Two people can be using the word socialism and mean entirely different things. One person uses socialism and says, this is a disaster that has crushed Venezuela and other nations. And then another person says, socialism, well, that's where people get to have things that they need so they can be taken care of. And that's good. I like that. I like helping people out. So you have this kind of problem. And it's important as we give the gospel that we get on the same page with people, because I really wonder if people have the same idea of the church as we do. I really wonder if people have the same idea of the Bible as we do. I really wonder if people have the same idea of prayer, of being able to live the resurrection life, for example, as we talked about last week. What does that mean? And for a great many people, they have no idea. And so they don't come to church because they don't think church is very useful, when the church is the best place to go to find the resurrection life. So the emphasis of Acts 2 is the sermon. There would be a whole lot more that could be said here about the sermon itself. I recommend that you read it and see how Peter makes the case that Jesus is the risen King. How he states the basic truths of the gospel, so that everybody would be under no delusions as to what it means and as to what it means for them. Because after he gets all done and they say to him, brothers, what shall we do? Showing therefore that they're under conviction, Peter replied, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for all of you. All the Lord God will call. So you give the gospel. You make sure that when you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the same person. When you're talking about the good news, you're talking about the same news. When you're talking about the resurrection, you're talking about the same event and what it means. And while you do have to live it, and we must, there will always be times when we give it by talking about it, by talking about this cause that is greater than ourselves, this cause that is worth everything we've got, this cause we celebrate on the church's birthday. When you blow out the candles on the birthday cake, you get to make a wish. You're supposed to keep it to yourself, but for today, we're going to treat that as the superstition it is and talk about birthday wishes. Now, in Acts 2, the wish came true in an amazing way. 3,000 were added to the number that day. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved in the coming days. But when you read verses 42 to 47, you just see the church being the church. They're just being themselves. And because they are being themselves, the byproduct is people can't wait to get in. The only time I have ever seen that, and it warmed my heart to see it, was when I was in Illinois taking some classes, and I went to Willow Creek Community Church outside of Chicago. And I had to wait in line to get in to the entrance. Because there were so many cars that were piling in there that I just couldn't just drive in. I couldn't just find any old space. I had to wait in line. When I got in, I was directed by people whose ministry it was to make sure that people got parked right and got put in the right place. And then I came in and was part of a great celebration of joy. We are always part of a celebration of joy when we gather as the church. My wish is, this is my wish, that we would keep the main thing in the church. And I think it's important to remember this also. It's kind of an interesting time where several things come together all at once. Talking about my birthday a little bit, talking about Pentecost as his church birthday. Now let me just mention something about Summit Bridge. Our 19th birthday was Memorial Day weekend. So we are, in effect, in our 20th year. So kind of got our birthday, too, in there. And my wish is that we would keep the main thing, the main thing. That we would emphasize fruit. And that if there be fireworks, they would lead to fruit. My wish is that we would be known by our service, not by our size. My wish is that our gifts would serve the gospel as they always do in the Bible. And my wish is that we would be present and that our promises would be kept. Think about the fact that 3,000 people in Jerusalem was an immense number in those days, when there was no New York City of 7 million, when to be a really, really large place, you might have like 500. To have 3,000 come to Christ in one day is an amazing thing. And it was just a byproduct of the church being the church, of the church keeping the main thing, the main thing. So what's your birthday wish? What's your birthday wish for this local church? What's your birthday wish for the church? What's your birthday wish for you, even if it's not near your birthday? If you were going to make a birthday wish, what would it be today? And how can you be part of fulfilling it? Because, friends, the party includes us. We're not sitting outside the party watching it happen. We're in the party. So, if the party is on, let's elevate to celebrate. Let us rejoice, as Peter says, talking about what David said in verse 28. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in his presence. Happy birthday, church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to think about these things. Show us how we can be the church you want us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.